The nurses obeyed. But at the approach of the roses, at the mere sight of those gaily coloured images of Pussy and Cock-a-doodle-doo and Baa-baa Black Sheep, the infants shrank away in horror. The volume of their howling suddenly increased. "Observe!" said the director triumphantly. "Observe!" Books and loud noises, flowers and electric shocks. Already in the infant mind, these couples were compromisingly linked. And after 200 repetitions of the same or a similar lesson, would be wedded indissolubly. What man has joined, nature is powerless to put asunder. They'll grow up with what the psychologists used to call an instinctive hatred of books and flowers. Reflexes unalterably conditioned. They'll be safe from books and botany all their lives. The director turned to his nurses. Take them away again. Still yelling, the khaki babies were loaded onto their dumb waiters and wheeled out, leaving behind them the smell of sour milk and a most welcome silence. One of the students held up his hand, and though he could see quite well why you couldn't have lower caste people wasting the community's time over books, and that there was always the risk of their reading something which might undesirably decondition one of their reflexes, yet, well, he couldn't understand about the flowers. Why go to the trouble of making it psychologically impossible for deltas to like flowers? Patiently, the DHC explained. If the children were made to scream at the sight of a rose, that was on grounds of high economic policy. Not so very long ago, a century or thereabouts, gammas, deltas, even epsilons had been conditioned to like flowers, flowers in particular, and wild nature in general. The idea was to make them want to be going out into the country at every available opportunity, and so compel them to consume transport. And didn't they consume transport? Asked the student. Quite a lot, the DHC replied. But nothing else. Primroses and landscapes, he pointed out, have one grave defect. They are gratuitous. A love of nature keeps no factories busy. It was decided to abolish the love of nature, at any rate among the lower classes, to abolish the love of nature, but not the tendency to consume transport. For of course it was essential they should keep on going to the country, even though they hated it. The problem was to find an economically sounder reason for consuming transport than a mere affection for primroses and landscapes. It was duly found. "We condition the masses to hate the country," concluded the director. "But simultaneously, we condition them to love all country sports. At the same time, we see to it that all country sports shall entail the use of elaborate apparatus, so that they consume manufactured articles as well as transport. Hence, those electric shocks." "I see," said the student, and was silent, lost in admiration. There was a silence. Then, clearing his throat, "Once upon a time," the director began, "while our Ford was still on Earth, there was a little boy called Rubin Rabinovich. Rubin was the child of Polish-speaking parents." The director interrupted himself. "You know what Polish is, I suppose?"
"A dead language. Like French and German," added another student, officiously showing off his learning.
"And a parent?" questioned the DHC.
There was an uneasy silence. Several of the boys blushed. They had not yet learned to draw the significant but often very fine distinction between smut and pure science. One, at last, had the courage to raise a hand.
"Human beings used to be..."
He hesitated. The blood rushed to his cheeks.
"Well, they used to be viviparous."
"Quite right," the director nodded approvingly. "And when the babies were decanted..." "Born," came the correction. "Well,
then they were the parents. I mean, not the babies, of course, the other ones.
The poor boy was overwhelmed with confusion.
In brief, the director summed up, the parents were the father and the mother.
The smut that was really science fell with a crash into the boy's eye-avoiding silence.
Mother!
He repeated loudly, rubbing in the science, and, leaning back in his chair,
these, he said gravely, are unpleasant facts, I know it. But then most historical facts are unpleasant.